الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of mankind, Imam al-Anbiya, none other than the most beloved Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have the opportunity to listen to the teachings of the Holy Quran. In the previous session, we spoke about the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we discussed the first few words of Surah Al-Alaq. We finished off with the word Rabbik, and we explained that it originates from the word Rabba Yurabbi Tarbiyatan, and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a message of comfort and calm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him to not worry and to not be anxious. Moving on, the next quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning of the mention of tarbiyah, the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions from his many qualities is alladhi khalaq, the one who created. And the reason why, according to scholars, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned khalaq, the virtue, the quality of creating, as the very first quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, is because the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was to create. He created. And then the question arises, maybe simply out of curiosity, for this question doesn't have much significance or place or status in our aqidah. However, it is a question nonetheless, a question that the scholars have discussed. And the question is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, what was the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? Now, for this there are many different opinions. Here we have a list of 7 different opinions. No doubt there will be more opinions as well. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. However, I will briefly discuss these opinions, of which the first 3 are the most famous and have solid evidence and basis in terms of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first opinion with regards to what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create is the pen. And this is the view of scholars such as Ibn Jarir and Imam Tabarani and Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahumullahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The second opinion is that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this opinion is attributed to scholars such as Imam Abu al-A'la al-Hamdani, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and his students Hafiz Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. The third opinion with regards to what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create is water. Scholars such as Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, Allama'ini rahimahullah, who's a great Hanafi scholar, they are of this opinion. So these are the 3 most concrete and established opinions. They have bases in hadith, Tirmizi Sharif, there's hadith mentioning the creation. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the throne and water, etc. Then other opinions are that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was intellect. Another opinion is immobility. And one interesting opinion is that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the nur, the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his body. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. This last opinion is the opinion of Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah, who is also a very significant and famous Hanafi scholar. Moving on. These 7 opinions, I actually took it from a book written by Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Shabbir Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, Al-Iqdu Thameen Fi Hubbi Nabiyil Amin. He has put his research forward there. So this is where I have taken it from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Amin Ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on. Another wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the quality of creation first is that the creation, when something is created, so a creation is created, automatically we are of the understanding that someone must have created this thing. Because creation cannot be without a creator. So automatically, when we think of creation, we think of a creator. And to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator is one of the first and most significant and important parts of our aqidah. And so here scholars have said that the very first revelation of the Holy Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the attention of the listener is bringing the attention of mankind towards himself, towards our aqidah. This is supposed to be our core belief. That creation cannot exist without a creator. And there can only be one possible creator, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars have said that if there was no Nabi that was sent to us, and there was no Quran to guide us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply created us, automatically our intellect, when we look around the world and we see the mountains and we see the trees and we see the oceans and we see the skies and the clouds, automatically our intellect would say to us and would explain to us that for all of this there must be a creator. And this creator can only be a being who is not created himself. And if there is a being who is not created himself, he has got to be the creator of all things. And that can be none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the very first revelation of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing a key point and a significant point of our aqidah, that we have to believe that everything is created except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. He created mankind from congealed blood. Now, in the first verse, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions creating, his creating, but it's general. Allah created, الَّذِي خَلَقٍ, he created, the one who created, yani created meaning everything. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then specifies from الَّذِي خَلَقْتُ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing our attention down and specifying the initial generalization that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind. So, now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the generic mention of creation at the beginning, why did Allah then specify the creation of mankind specifically? So there are a few possible reasons. Firstly, it is to show that insan is ashraful makhluqat. Insan is the best of all creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given mankind a higher status than all the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are the main species and everything else are subspecies. Everything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, he has created in the servitude of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the world around us to serve us. The sun, it serves us. It gives us light, it gives us warmth. You know, it has a very great part in the plants growing and the general running of the world. The moon, the plants, the trees, the wind, all of these things, they contribute so that we can survive in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them to serve us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a higher status than them. And there are many reasons for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us rational beings. We have intelligence, whereas other beings are irrational. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the greatest things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most obvious point, I guess, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with knowledge. And knowledge, when we say knowledge, we are talking about the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of Iman, وغير ذلك. Whereas the other creation, they were not given the Quran. We were given the Quran. So this blessing in itself, just having the Quran as a species, takes us way above and beyond all other nations and all other species. This is also why the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have a higher status than all the other nations before. Because Rasulullah sallallahu, we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the greatest of all anbiya. We are the ummah to whom the Quran was sent, and the Quran is the greatest of all books. So due to these things, by extension, the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are also the greatest nation. But this is going even more specific within the realms of humanity. But the fact that humanity was given the Quran, and humanity was given knowledge, and humanity was given intelligence and rational thinking, is evidence to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a higher status than all other makhlukat. On the day of Qiyamah, all the other creation, they will be turned into dust, kunu turaba, they will be turned into dust. Whereas humanity, we will go into Jannah, inshaAllah. We will go to Jannah and we will stay there forever. We will not be turned into dust. We will go and enter into Jannah. Within this, again, there is an indication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, and we find this in many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions blessings to us. Now this is a blessing. Allah has given us a higher status than all of the other creation. So this is a blessing from us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us that I have blessed you with preference over the other species. Due to this, you should thank me more than they thank me. You should remember me more than they remember me. You know, in the Quran it says that the mountains and the earth and the sea, they all remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because we have been given a higher status than them, there's an indication in this that according to the ulama, that we should be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has blessed us with preference over them. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned insan is what is happening here. The Quran is being revealed. Who is the Quran being revealed to? Exclusively for mankind. The Quran is not being revealed to other creation. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gone on to then specifically mention mankind, because this whole fuss, this whole incident, the whole saga, the whole a story of the revelation of the Quran is specifically for the attention of mankind. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned humanity. And the third opinion, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, has written this in his tafsir. He's mentioned it in his tafsir, that mankind is kind of like a reflection and a culmination of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that if you look at the human body, we can find similarities to many other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within them. Like for example, these are examples, are not from Mufti Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. These are examples just from myself, like the sun and the moon, yeah, they are like the faces of the mankind. Other examples are, in one place I read the Helix Nebula. Helix Nebula is a giant cloud of dust and gas. When you look at pictures of it, it very, very closely resembles a human eye, the human eyeball. Just like that. So this reminded, I read this somewhere, this reminded me of this verse, so I added it in. Yeah, when you look at pictures of it, if you've not seen pictures of the Helix Nebula, and many other nebulae as well, look at pictures of them on Google and it reminds you exactly of the human eye. So this reminded me of that. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, min 'alaq, he created mankind from congealed blood. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention 'alaq, congealed blood specifically? Now, in the Holy Quran, in other places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the formation of the baby. So from the how the baby forms in the womb of the mother. So one such example of this is the verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, and indeed we created mankind, min sulalatin min teen. And the stages of these are seven stages that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. The first stage is وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن سُلَالَةٍ مِّن تِينَ. And indeed we created mankind, min sulalatin min din, from an extract of clay, number one. Number two, thumma ja'alnahu, then we put it, thumma ja'alnahu nutfatan fi qararin makin. And then we change that congealed blood into a drop of sperm. ثم خلقنا النطفة علاقة. So that's the second stage. And then ثم خلقنا النطفة علاقة. Then we created the nutfa, the sperm drop, into a clot, علاقة. So that's the third stage. فخلقنا العلاقة مضغة. Then we turned the clot into a lump like a fetus. فخلقنا المضغة عظام. And then we turned the lump into bones. فكسونا العظام اللحمة. And then, you know, the bones, we clothed the bones, such beautiful words. Kasa means to clothe. When you know, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani, when you wear your clothes, you pray the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani, praise be to Allah who has clothed me. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَسَوْنَ الْعِظَامَ اللَّحْمَ, we clothed the bones with meat. Yeah, and that's exactly how our bodies is. We have the bones on the inside, and in the meat is a protective covering. That forms the outer layer of the body. ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. And then we blew into the spirit and the soul into the body. So this is the seven stages. Now, the علاقة that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned is the third stage. So due to this, scholars have said that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of the middle stages of the creation, of the formation of the fetus. And by, in Arabic sometimes, the middle part of something is mentioned to indicate upon the whole of that process. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to the whole process. And there's a reason for that, but just before I mention the other reason, I want to mention a small story. That this story was mentioned to us by our respected Ustad Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Tahir Sahib, Damla Barakatuh, who was just here praying Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long, healthy and virtuous life. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. He is one of the most pious people I've ever seen in my life. And he lives just in our community and he prays namaz amongst us. We are very, very, very fortunate to have gems like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to benefit from these individuals. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So I remember once in class he mentioned to us that there was a Canadian doctor, and this Canadian doctor, he was a specialist in the study of the womb and the creation of the fetus and things like this. So one day he came across this verse that I've just mentioned about the formation of the fetus within the womb. And he says that he studied the verse and he became Muslim. Immediately became Muslim, and when he was asked about it, he said that this book, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came with this book in the 7th century, Gregorian calendar, 1,500 years ago. And he lived in the middle of Arabia. At the time, Arabia, and I mentioned this previously, predominantly, there were an illiterate nation. There was no universities there. There was no big empires. You know, the universities and the scholars and the books came with the empires such as the Roman empires and the Persian empires. But the Romans and the Persians, they didn't step foot into Arabia because there was nothing. It was a desert, barren land. What are you going to do over there? There's not worth going into Arabia. So they were very backward, generally speaking. They were very backward. And there was no such knowledge over there. How has Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so accurately described the formation of the fetus whilst being in the middle of a desert 1,500 years ago? At that time, no one in the world at that time had such accurate knowledge of this, because they had no technology to study the formation of the fetus in the womb. So it is impossible that someone with such academic accuracy could bring this in the middle of the 7th century, in the middle of Arabia, without it being simply, the answer being that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon this, he said there's no other answer to it, besides the fact that the Quran cannot be from humans, It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and upon this he became Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide many, many more likewise. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to the formation of the fetus here is because, again, going back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to Hazrat Jibreel, Ameen alayhi salam, that ma ana biqari, I cannot read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you, mankind, there was a time when you were a clot of congealed blood. What does what qualities does a clot of congealed blood have? Nothing. It has no body. It has no beauty. It has no knowledge. It cannot do anything. You were a clot of congealed blood. I am the one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you in all of these stages. He made you a human being. He gave you birth from your mother. And slowly, 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 he did your tarbiyah. He nurtured you to this point where, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are who you are today. Yani, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 40 years old, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Nabi, he was a very, very important person. He was a very, very skilled individual. He had many, many qualities. And he was already a very great human being, if not the greatest human being already before Nabuwa came. Nabuwa came and simply topped this up. Nabuwa came and took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from being the best of mankind to achieving a status that was even higher than that because of Nabuwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the one that took you from a clot of congealed blood and I made you the greatest person today. You think because you are an ummi, you are illiterate, I will not continue to nurture you. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning the creation of that mankind was once congealed blood, there is an indication here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is giving comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, don't worry, Ya Muhammad, don't worry, there's no need to worry. I will nurture you. I am here, I will help you, I will nurture you. You have my support. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. This is has also been mentioned by Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah in his tafsir. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram. Inshallah, we will continue with Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram in the next week. Inshallah, we're hoping that by Ramadan, Iqra should finish. It's taking a while. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us with these opportunities to study the tafsir and the translation and the commentary of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the light of the Quran in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Hamil al-Quran and the Sahib al-Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the friends of the Quran and give us true love for the Holy Quran and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring the sunnah into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.